Our epistle lesson this morning comes from the epistle that Paul wrote to the church in Rome, Romans 6, verses 1 to 11, which says, "What shall we say then? Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we who died to sin still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. We know that our old self was crucified with him in order that the body of sin might be brought to nothing, so that we would no longer be enslaved to sin. For one who has died has been set free from sin. Now, if we have died with Christ, we believe that we will also live with him. We know that Christ, being raised from the dead, will never die again. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death he died to sin, once for all. But the life he lives to God. So you also must consider yourselves dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. The good news according to St. Mark. Glory to you, O Lord." If you're comfortable in doing so, please rise. If not, don't worry. Mark chapter 1, verses 4 to 11. "John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And all the country of Judea and all Jerusalem were going out to him and were being baptized by him in the river Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair and wore a leather belt around his waist and ate locusts and wild honey. And he preached, saying, 'After me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit.' In those days Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.' This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ." Please be seated. Well, this is a classic Epiphany story. Jesus is baptized, the heavens open, and the Holy Spirit descends in the form of a dove, identifying Jesus as the Messiah. But today, I'd like to take a closer look at our epistle lesson, reading from Romans 6. When you start reading at Romans 6, verse 1, it's kind of like walking into the middle of a conversation. What's everyone talking about? Well, if you back up to Romans 5, the preceding paragraphs, Paul has been making the point that we are saved by grace. We're forgiven and accepted by God, not because we deserve it, but only because Jesus died to atone for our sin. We're saved by God's mercy toward us, this great gift. So when we get to Romans 6, verse 1, Paul asks the rhetorical question, are we to continue to sin even though we're saved by grace? Well, the answer is, of course not. By no means, it says. How can we who have died to sin still live in it? So here's what confuses me. What does that mean? Died to sin. To be honest, it seems like I still live in sin. I still sin regularly. I'm not proud of that. It's just the truth. I could pretend I don't sin. A lot of us pretend. But the truth is, I do sin. And if you keep reading and get to Romans chapter 7, even St. Paul admits that he's got the same problem. He said, the good I want to do, I do not do, and the things I hate, I keep on doing. A wretched man that I am. At least in chapter 7, Paul's being honest. But what is he talking about here in chapter 6? What does it mean to die to sin? You know, this passage of Scripture reminds me of something written by our friend, theologian Chad Bird, about his growing up years in rural Oklahoma. Here's what he wrote. I'd grown up believing that there's always a but between me and God. Jesus died for my sins and then rose for me, but it's up to me to make him my personal Lord and Savior. Or, the Heavenly Father wants all people to be saved and come to a knowledge of the truth, but they need to do their part by meeting God halfway. Or, you may be a Christian, but you have to show your obedience to Christ as Lord by submitting to his baptism. Between God's gift of forgiveness and my reception of this, Bird wrote, there always stood a but. And the nagging question was, what if my efforts to do my part, my efforts to meet God halfway, my efforts to show my obedience, what if my efforts just weren't good enough or sincere enough? Or what if I did it right, but then I went out and blew it again, like I always did? Where does that leave me? There was always a but, always something more demanded of me. For me, it created a dark lining of doubt in every silver cloud of grace. Doubt was the issue lurking in the background for Chad Bird. Is God really there for me? Why should he be? I haven't done enough. For example, I'm supposed to have died to sin, but I still sin. I'm supposed to have died to sin, but I haven't. I haven't. Have I? Yes, you have. You've died to sin. That's a historical fact. It says so right here in Romans 6, verse 2. And here in verse 3 and 4, it explains what that means. Verse 3 says, don't you know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were baptized into his death, but we're still living. Just like we died to sin, but we still sin. Having died to sin doesn't mean we never sin. It means your sin can no longer separate you from God and destroy you eternally. The wages of sin is death, but you've been forgiven and saved by God's grace. Read Romans 6:23. That's why the question that Paul asks in verse 1 is so pertinent. We've been saved by God's grace. So what shall we say then? Shall we go on sinning on purpose? Shall we sin with impunity? Of course not. Read verse 2. Just because God forgives our sin and spares us the eternal consequence of death, why would we dishonor God and discount his great gift? Or why would we expose ourselves to the earthly consequences of sin? We've been forgiven and set aside for a purpose. Read verse 4. You died to sin when you were baptized. That's an historical event. Nothing can change history, not even your continued sin. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved. That's Mark 6:16, which means your sin is forgiven. Yesterday's sin, today's sin, and tomorrow's sin. You died to sin in your baptism. Sin can no longer kill you. You can't die twice. You know, according to these verses in Romans 6, baptism is powerful. That's because it's not something you do. It's something God does for you. And that is a critical distinction. That explains why even babies can receive this gift. Or profoundly retarded adults. It's not contingent on your ability to understand. It's contingent upon God's willingness to forgive and accept us. I mentioned Chad Bird's reminiscing about his teenage years on an Oklahoma ranch and his struggles with doubt. Not so much doubt about God's existence, but doubts about God's acceptance of him and God's participation in his life. He wrote, "The doubt manifested itself most clearly in my decision when I was 16 to be re-baptized. During a revival at my church, I became convinced that I'd been too young the first time I was baptized to know what I was doing. Plus, if I were really a Christian, how could I have failed so miserably in my life of spiritual obedience? I couldn't have died to sin, I thought. I was still sinning. It was obvious to me that I needed a spiritual reboot and a rededication of my life in Christ. And I had to really mean it this time. So late one night, I made a decision, again, to follow Jesus sincerely, to receive his baptism obediently this time, and to live as a Christian wholeheartedly this time. And wouldn't you know it, even though I did all of it as well as I know how, the doubts that dogged me quickly resurfaced. My old sins whispered sweet temptations in my ears. I couldn't go an hour, much less a day, without letting God down in some way. Maybe I was one of the hopeless causes, a son of the night who only masquerades on Sunday morning as an offspring of the light. I was a hopeless case, I guess. But sometimes things have to get worse before they get better. The good news for Chad Bird is that regardless of his circumstances and how things seemed to him, God had never withdrawn his acceptance and participation in his life. In fact, that summer, he met a friend who went to a church on the edge of town, a different church, and Chad started going too. And as he continued there, a theme emerged. It was the radical idea of God's all-sufficient grace in Christ. And it's interesting that just months after this 16-year-old future theologian had himself rebaptized for the purpose of demonstrating obedience and commitment, he learned God's purpose for baptism. "It finally dawned on me," he wrote, "rather than baptism being my act of obedience toward God, baptism is God's act of salvation toward me." Romans 6, verse 4 puts it this way: "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Being buried with Christ in baptism, walking in newness of life, that's the work of God, not man. So when life crushes you, when you're swimming in sadness, when nothing goes your way, when you've embarrassed yourself, or faced divorce, or unemployment, or poverty, or depression, or bitter disappointment, or illness, or death, or anything, when you're just afraid, how can you be sure? How can you be sure that God will never leave you or forsake you? Well, here's one thing you can do. You can point to the historical fact of your own baptism and know that you've died to sin, which means that your own sin, no matter how egregious it might be, cannot destroy you. You've been forgiven and marked as belonging to Christ. He'll never leave you or forsake you. So be at peace. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, on this first Sunday in the season of Epiphany, when we mark the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan by John the Baptist, Lord, help us to remember our own baptisms as well, and to know without doubt or any question that we belong to you, and you have given your life for us. That even though we continue to battle with sin, we have died to sin, and we cannot die a second time. We thank you for this historical fact. In Jesus' name, amen.